Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics. Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Fred Schankelberg.
And this is Kirk Gray.
Hey, Kirk, do you ever listen to the startup music to the show? Yes. Or do you just skip ahead 15 seconds?
I do.
You skip ahead?
Well, when I, you know, obviously when I do my show notes, or we have to write the notes, mm-hmm. I first copy my show notes for the book and the article I just love the most from the U.S. Army.
Your standard.
I just wait. Everybody wants to read reliability prediction, a misleading, continued reliance on a misleading approach. Yeah. Please read it. I didn't write it. I didn't write it, folks.
But your work in the field has influenced their thinking.
So I do that and then just kind of listen to it. And yeah, I do skip our opening, which is you've changed over the years.
A couple of times.
And in fact, I was just going to suggest you can go to make your own music through a particular app. Now it'll.
Oh, I don't want to get sued by somebody.
No. I heard about one the other day. It's called Suno, S-U-N-O. Okay. And I think it's a paid for, but it creates completely copyright free, just kind of synthesizes. And I think you've heard that now AI is being used to create, not only.
Beatles songs that were never recorded,
Right? Or, one of the most popular groups on Spotify doesn't exist. They were totally fabricated, they've created actresses and actors that are completely artificially generated, but they look incredibly real. So that's becoming a challenge for getting reliable information.
Well, you were talking about, you sent me a link to, what's the most controversial thing,
right?
Reliability. Mm-hmm. And then we started looking at the other things and you asked, your system, how many episodes was I in Speaking of Reliability? And they gave you a partial list, which we thought was odd because they're all available online. And I thought, if we could do all of them. If it actually gave you the true count mm-hmm. of how many you have and we could check mm-hmm. it, then when I update the contributors page where it's, the top level, I'm drawing a complete blank what it's called, but I have an artificial threshold that if you do a lot of content contributing our episodes and mm-hmm. webinars and podcasts to the site, you become the top tier. And if you haven't provided any content in like the last 6 months or year or so, then you go into the archive, the very no picture, just a little line with your name on it kind of thing. And I thought, this would be great. I'll just have one of these bots, one of these large language models, because I know they're crawling the site. Mm-hmm. How many times has Kirk contributed content to the site? And then which is the most popular? And then I could do, most listened to or stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But then we kind of ran into, you tried it, right? You had the system open, you gave it a try, right. And it says, there's no publicly available stuff. We can't see anything. We don't know.
Listener counts or listener statistics or ranking data for individual SRO episodes. There's no chart or top episodes list on SRO on your site. So that's up to you to, if you want to play around with that.
But then the hard part is that the metrics for the least the metrics I have access to mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. is because all of the podcast episodes are stored on an Amazon S3 mm-hmm. bucket. Why they called them buckets is beyond me, but it's a bunch of software people. And so they get streamed from there. So if anybody actually downloads it or listens to it, whether it's streaming or download and then played, the podcast metrics then say, you downloaded it. Now, if you have a podcast player, like many of us use one or mm-hmm. another version of mm-hmm. some podcast player,
all right.
then you can set it. So, oh, only give me the most recent three, or give me the three I haven't listened to, or 10 I haven't right. listened to, or right. give me them all. I have right. them all on my system.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have a good memory on amount on your iPhone nowadays to load all 1100 and plus episodes that we've done, so that, you know,
right.
more right. power to you. But it's ever since I've started with podcasting 10, 12 years ago, mm-hmm. it's always been fuzzy whether you knew how many actual listens you had. And then it makes me think of when I was growing up in high school, listen mm-hmm. to the local radio station kind of thing. And they would always mm-hmm. do these call-ins, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you can
request
for requests or for whatever.
Right.
And part of that was the engagement part, so that they, you know, there's contests and there's call-ins
right.
and the third
right.
caller wins and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But in hindsight, I'm looking at it, it's a way to know that their microphone's actually working,
mm-hmm.
you know,
that
the station is on air and there is somebody out there listening. And it's kind of right. like that with the podcast is, you know.
Well, I would think that there are, I don't know, because I don't do what you're doing, and I've haven't, you know, been deep into podcasting other than being on your on this podcast. So I don't know, but I'm sure that just like we would when we did a computer program, we would put in flags that may show, and in there we can radio back, you know, that this podcast has been listened to, not only has been downloaded, but the person, just like when we do messaging, you can see that somebody's read it, it's been delivered
sometimes, and then read.
You can read, right, so you know that, yeah, it's been delivered, but it may not have been read. Now, yeah,
and
that's
email
not
even
possible.
Does that. There's ways to do it with
right.
email with
yeah.
some systems, and there's filters to counter it so they can't tell whether you got it or not. And,
I think that there's probably those programs or sub-programs, or, you know, maybe you have to pay for them. I don't know. I haven't explored it, but that's probably how you can get more reliable data on, you know, what is really just like when somebody ships a product, you know, they get it and receive it, but you don't know when they started using it. They might have let it put it in storage for a while.
Yeah.
And I go
spare.
Back. And the same thing I do with podcasts. Sometimes I'll go back and look and say, well, I have time to listen to this one. And I listen to, you know, I download every SOR episode, not just as a routine. Everyone mm-hmm. that comes in, my Apple podcast app just downloads it. And mm-hmm. I have to unload it or listen to it.
And then say, hey, you can remove
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and I like listening to you and Chris and you and Carl and others
oh, you
talk about
us all the time.
No, I
know that you listen to it because you told me that, and we know yeah. that people listen to it when we get comments and questions back or you know, features of it, or even randomly. I'm sitting at a conference a couple of years ago and somebody says, I know that voice, you do a podcast. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, it's true. They probably know you more by voice than your picture, since you don't have very few. I have it on every you get leave
episode,
it on every
yeah.
one of my podcasts. So although it's 10 years old, no, it's about 15 years old.
Yeah.
It's okay. I still yeah. look the same.
Oh, yeah, you do. Yeah, a little grayer here.
Just
there,
more spots on the face. Anyway, yeah. But yeah, it's, you know, getting reliable data now that you have this, you know, amazing ability to, you know, anybody can put up a podcast, anybody, anywhere,
yeah, and millions then, and millions.
Yeah, what's
there.
Your what's your pod? You know, it's you meet somebody. He's like, "What's your podcast?"
Well, there's some of that, but yeah. you know, when we first started this, it was there was the MRO show. It was aimed at maintenance and
right.
maintenance, reliability, operations type stuff. I think that's mm-hmm. what that stands for. And they had, I don't know, maybe 100 episodes at that point, and then shortly after that, they stopped. Posting podcasts and I got in touch with them. They said, oh no, I'm moving on. And you know, and I started looking for, well, what other shows are out there in reliability or even engineering? And there were mm-hmm. very, very few.
Right.
And when we started, we had the Ascendo Reliability webinar series, which is an mm-hmm. offshoot of the webinars we do. And we had Rooted in Reliability started with James Kovacevic pretty quick. I helped him get it started.
And I had an interview with a guy from CSU. I think at one time you had mm-hmm. I forget the name. It's so long ago. It was probably 7 years ago I don't either, but he had another one. Yeah.
Yeah. And there was, but we started with four shows. We had, Dare to Know was the show that we did, was kind of the radio
that
talk
was
show
the one.
Interview.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And it was for authors and professors and stuff like that. Yeah. And so we did that for a while. I think we're close to 100 episodes on that, but. And then there was like two or three others I found, and they agreed to join the podcast network that we were starting. And it's, mm-hmm. it just meant that we had explicit permission to promote their show. And then there was no money exchange, never has been. And I also have a section on the site under resources. And it's what made me think about this as well. I would like to rank order the podcasts if I knew how, other than how many episodes they did, I really don't know which ones are being listened to at all or not, and which ones have really good practical information or not. And without listening to a bunch of them, which I do on the regular, but, but I went and searched yesterday for reliability engineering podcasts that I found, like I mentioned in our last episode, I found mm-hmm. one that was the top 10 list and it had a very nice write-up about our show. I thought that was very, very mm-hmm. generous of them. And I found, probably 25 shows. Some of which I knew of already and have listed in various places and on the site mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. a whole bunch of other ones I had never heard of before. So I got a new batch to go listen to and see if they would fit for us to get them on the reliability.fm network, promote them.
Put them under the Exendo Reliability umbrella, which has gotten very large.
It has gotten large. And then I'm thinking I'm going to change that menu up for the ones that did three shows and then never again, I'll put them in the archive folder.
Yeah. Right. And then you got the long-term people like me that don't go away.
you just keep talking. But it's the, because with some of the like books under the resource yeah. tab on the site, I search on Amazon and then I look at what's their ranking, which changes. So if three people buy your book, Kirk, your ranking yeah. goes up like a million. it's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But once you get into the top 100,000, it's pretty tough to move up unless you're selling a lot of books consistently.
Right. Right.
And so I just pick a day. I search and I pull all of the books that look like they're related to reliability off mm-hmm. off to different tabs. And I go through and I check all the, so it's as close a time frame as instantaneous as I can get for mm-hmm. all the search. And then I rank order them by Amazon rank. Mm-hmm. And that gives me a way to say, here's the top 10. But on podcasts, I really am blind. And even as an operator of it, I'm quite sure if I paid to be a Spotify podcast and ran all of our shows there, and I looked at the pricing for it to move 1,000 episodes over there, it was going to cost a couple $1,000. And I thought,
well, I get,
and then an ongoing monthly bill too.
Why that? I listen to my.
You can be a listener for free. That's no problem. But to host it there, it costs them money for the memory, and the streaming, and all the other hardware that goes into making it work. So,
well, how do they, what would be the difference in how it's done now that I can go to Apple Podcasts and you always list all the podcasts.
Apple Podcasts does not store them. They don't put them on any other hard drives other okay. than they point to somewhere else where it's hosted. And
okay.
you and can start a podcast for free. There's a few of them out there that up to a certain number of episodes or so many minutes, then it's free and it gets you hooked in it. And then they charge you for the space, essentially the service. And others are more high end. You pay quite a bit, like $1,000 a month to do it, but it's got all these high zoot stuff it does for you, including right. editing and post and all that promotion and all kinds of weird stuff. And I'm like,
I guess it's how valuable the data is that you want to know. And that's, if you pay for those hosting, I guess you get some other benefits that you don't when you're the way it's doing now.
Yeah. And I'm still Apple paying for the hosting, but it's a fraction of what these other systems would charge us. So I'm like, I'm not too, I mean, yeah, I'd love better info, but I really like it when we get somebody says, hey, I listened to this episode. I got a question or I have a question because I know you talk about it on the show.
No. That's a personal connection that we, yeah, we kind of crave because we know somebody actually sat down and listened to it or any kind of written feedback. I love seeing that because they, you know, really thought about what we were saying and and had some interesting angles on it sometimes. Yeah. So, yeah, that's, you know, again, in the data driven and especially AI world, that's going to be, there are going to be more tools, I think, to do better jobs. And as I say, you can pay for, you know, a higher level ChatGPT or I'm sure all the other AI tools and get
a deeper experience. Yeah, I'm surprised though, Kirk, when you asked it, so what was the most popular speaking of reliability episode, I'm surprised they didn't say, well, your episode, of course, you know, just buttery up a little bit. You know? And if you give me more money, I'll tell you. But I'm also, you know,
yours is the fairest of them all.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, we were talking about, you know, trying to figure out how many listens we get to a podcast. And there's
all kinds of
various reasons for this and costs here or there. And ChatGPT was no help. But it's also the listens and downloads are conflated because it's the same software trigger to download is the same one that streams it. And it's
right.
But
we know through software, they could identify when the listener has actually listened to it or runs it on whether, you know, and in fact, that's, I think how they do Spotify, that you've got to listen to the song at least
I got something like that on Apple. If I go to different outlets like Apple or Spotify or the other ones, it gives me minutes listened.
Okay.
And it gives me an idea, you know, but it's the metric is, you got 800 minutes listened this month. And I'm like, okay. Was that one episode over and over again? Or was that because I'm not paying for the service and I don't get the great metrics. So I'm sure they have something there.
Right. I think those are available. And just like, you know, the songs on Spotify I download, I mean, they're on my, but there's a mechanism that Spotify knows I've listened to that song and how many times I've listened to it. That's how they compensate the artist. You know, it may be only 0.001 cent per, you know, or even less than that for, you know, some popular people, but, there is a way of doing the music.
The vanity metric is just how many total downloads and how many bots have crawled across it and stuff like that. And that number is like, in our 10 years for the four shows that we host on Ascendo, which is over 3.3 million downloads. Mm-hmm. And some of it's very noisy data, it actually came from.
Right.
Yet that's not the most important one. The most important one is, as I wrap this up, is that, and it's the same in our work and reliability, is you need to track the metrics that matter, that help you make decisions and know if it's working or not and stuff. And I still find, and I think we agree on this, Kirk, is that when a listener writes in a comment or a question or leaves us a voicemail or contacts us through LinkedIn or whatever, then it's that, somebody is listening. That's great. That's why we're doing it. And it gives us a topic we can chat about that's directly related to somebody's question. And I've heard it a couple of times, is the ones that are somebody's question is like, I was thinking about, you know, having that issue too. Or I just ran into that and went re-listened to this episode and it answered my question. So it really helps the overall community when we get real questions that,
because you're not alone.
Everybody else is dealing with similar stuff at one point or another in their career, their business.
Right. So. Different ways, different companies and different approaches, but kind of the same challenges of how do I deal with my management and trying to do better testing and other things.
How do I get samples?
Yeah, how do I get samples? You know,
failure
analysis.
A lot
of commonality that we know will not disappear in future years.
That's right.
My wife says, you know, I said, well, now this is almost 10th year my book's been published. She says, well, do you think it'll be obsolete over time? I said, well, you know, my intention was...
The principles won't.
The principles won't, right. Fatigue and fatigue damage and aging, it'll be different for different materials and different configurations of materials and packaging, but it's always going to be the driver that eventually causes things to wear out and fail, although it takes a hell of a long time for
some things.
For electronic, especially solid state, except for power electronics. Yeah. Anyway.
How many times, we've got to ask ChatGPT. Maybe one of the listeners can do it for us. Is how many times has Kirk Gray plugged his book on these shows? I am curious. There's a metric I'm curious about.
But they, you know, and people don't realize, maybe they don't, that each one of our episodes is automatically transcribed. So you don't even have to listen. You can read it.
Yeah,
you can read the whole thing.
But you'll miss the laughter. I don't think the laughter.
That's true. They can't put in their ha-ha. But the great thing about, and I certainly admire it, even though I'd like to have lots of money off of this, is that you do not advertise. And that's one of the most annoying things about listening to any of my podcasts, unless we have to pay for it on Patreon or something like that.
There's
you could do that, but you decide not to. So
yeah, man, we'll talk about that later. And maybe somebody will send us money. It's fine.
Yeah, that's right. Well, yeah, but that's okay. We want this information to get out. We
that's why we do it.
We're trying to improve reliability engineering and maintenance and all the other things that are critical to our listeners.
Yeah.
I don't think we have non-reliability engineers listening, but maybe managers.
I'm sure there's a few, but let's wrap it up. So if you're listening to this, which we hope you are, and you can
let
us know, just are you out there? Kind of the gist of this episode, but you can do that or even ask a question while you're there. Over at ascendoreliability.com/go/SOR. There's a couple of ways to get in touch with us. Kirk and I and the other hosts of the show are available through LinkedIn and our about pages. So let's tally this one up and we'll watch the metrics and the incoming flood of email to how many people are actually listening. we'll see how it goes.
Okay. We certainly appreciate everybody listening and especially feedback and, please let us know how we're doing.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Thanks, Kirk.
Okay, Fred. Talk to you later.
Yeah, cheers. Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation. If you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show, please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.